Really glad to be able to have my guest here this morning. My friend Brad Cole, former Carbondale mayor and, of course, executive director of the Illinois Municipal League. Now, Brad, it's good to see you in person, man.
Good morning. Yeah, it's been a long time.
It has. It's always good to get you in the studio.
I listen to you almost every day, so it's great that you're spreading the news and doing a good job as usual.
Online streaming is the best, isn't
it? That's right. It's amazing.
I'm hoping it makes me sound a little more smarter, but I don't know how that can happen.
Well, you look great on radio.
Oh, I know. I'm built for it, aren't I? Now, I got to tell you a story. Brad already knows the story, but this is how this happened. J.B. Pritzker makes an appearance. I believe it was a week ago Monday, I believe. And the Illinois Policy Institute listens to the interview online, and they send me a note, and they say, Tom, did you know that in Jackson County, 98 cents of every property tax dollar goes to pensions, and that 99 cents of every police dollar goes to pensions in Jackson County in the municipalities? And my first thought is, horse hockey. Can't be. This can't be. This is meant to inflame me. This is meant to mislead me. Can't be. So I pick up the phone. I call Carbondale Mayor Mike Henry. I pick up the phone and I call Brad Cole. And Brad says, yes. That's where we are today.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hard time. Now we're talking about municipalities, and there is a variation from county to county. We're going to get to that in a moment. But the tie-in here from the Illinois Policy Institute, Brad, is people who promise property tax reform can't deliver until we deal with this.
Right, and that's what people generally don't understand and haven't for a long time. Now, you and I have been talking about a lot of issues over the last 10 or 20 years, and property tax is one of them, pensions is one of them. But many people don't understand that the majority, if not the entirety, of their property tax bill for a municipality goes to pay for pension contributions, and primarily public safety pension contributions.
All right. You brought in a piece of paper. This is the Carbondale, Illinois Public Safety Pension / Tax Levy Comparison. Can you walk me through this levy from 2017 fiscal 2017 levy, 2019 fiscal year? Can you walk me through this line when it comes to property taxes and pension costs?
Sure. So basically, and what I did was I got some numbers that are current, but if you go back to 1999, or the fiscal year 2000, that's when I came onto the city council in Carbondale, okay? In the fiscal year 2000, the total municipal property tax levy for Carbondale in this instance was just over $1 million, $1,020,000. The total public safety pension cost was $727,000. So more money coming in than going out, but still 75% of it going to pension costs. Then if you fast forward to today, there's still $1 million, $1,035,000 coming in on property tax levy, $3.5 million going out for pension costs.
Right.
So whereas 20 years ago it was 75 cents on the dollar was going from property tax to pension costs, today it's $3.50 for every dollar is going to pension costs from property tax.
Because when I look at this, municipal cost, public safety pension, fiscal year 2000, $727,000, and today it's $3,475,219. That is an incredible climb. When you look at that on a graph, that would be the kind of thing that would get your attention.
Right, and that's why you'll see and hear communities saying, well, you know, we're making more and more contributions and we can't get ahead. And that's why you have communities that are anywhere from 25% funded in their ratio, maybe up to 60 or 70% funded. If they're lucky, they're in the high 70s. The target by law is that to be 90% funded by the year 2040, but it's almost impossible to get there if you're tripling or quadrupling your contribution and you're falling behind.
Right. Okay, and if you think we're just picking on Jackson County, that's not the case. I have an excerpt here from Adam Schuster. He's with the Illinois Policy Institute. He was on the air Monday on this very same issue, and this is a rundown from the Illinois Policy Institute on some of the counties here in southern Illinois and the portion of your property taxes. We need to make that stipulation.
Right.
Property taxes that are going to pensions.
Sure. So Jackson, 98 for fire. For police, it's 99 cents of every municipal dollar that's going to pensions, not services. For Williamson County, it's 93 cents of every dollar for fire, 96 for police, In Perry County, it's 92 for fire and 95 for police. In Franklin, it's 74 for fire and 93 for police. And in Union, it's 77 for fire, 96 for police. And then for Randolph County, we only have numbers for police. They're doing a little bit better. It's only 42%.
That's still staggering numbers. Really is when you talk about what you're doing. And you know, because it was interesting, I was talking to Mike Henry. He says, when you listen to this, you wonder how we're able to put gas in the fire truck.
Well, and that's the other thing. People say, oh, well, you know, I'm paying taxes here, you know, and I demand these services. And that's fair. People should feel that way.
Jeff Doherty, on more than one occasion, looked at me right in the eye and says, you don't understand. People call the city building every day and they expect more services.
For less, and that is human nature. But the reality in this scenario is every dollar is going to pension costs. Now, why is that the case? Well, you've had over the last several years pension sweeteners. There have been actuarial changes. People are living longer. That's a good thing, but it means that you're on the receiving end of a pension longer if you're a pensioner.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to be at the point where people can retire in public service, say, at the age of 50. They might be living to 100. They're going to be drawing retirement for more years than they were alive when they retired, not the number of years that they worked. So if you work 20 or 30 years and you retire at age 50, you might actually be drawing for 50 more years. That's unsustainable.
And when you look at some of the pensions, pretty incredible sums, too.
Right.
All right. So before we get to the second portion here, I understand after looking at this and reading more about this and kind of, well, you heard my voice when I was on the phone with you. I'm going, this isn't true, right? This is not true. And you're going, no, this is true. And we're see, here's the interesting thing is because you're dealing with this with municipalities, not just in, but across the entire state who are under this burden. So now I know whenever they started talking in Springfield about pushing pension liabilities down to the local level, now I know why there was a collective freaking out of city councils and county commissioners.
Right. You know, there are 1,298 cities, villages, and towns in Illinois. They're all dealing with this in some way. Now, some communities or areas are serviced by fire protection districts, so they don't have it directly within their municipality, but it's the same result. I mean, that district is applying a property tax and paying these things. So what we've seen at the Illinois Municipal League is, look, at some point, there's going to be two people left at City Hall, the clerk who writes the check and the mayor who signs the check, and one of the two of them will decide who takes it down to the post office that mails it to the pension fund. That's not an embellishment of the reality that could be present for us in the next 10 or 20 years if these costs continue to escalate. So what we have done is try to address this issue and try to get the General Assembly and the statewide elected officials, the governor and others, and certainly all the candidates that are running for office to recognize this and stop putting it off. It's hard. Everything's an election year, you know, and nobody wants to tackle the tough issues.
But they do want to promise you property tax relief, which they can't promise.
Well, and not $1 of property tax goes to the state of Illinois. But the state of Illinois wants to tell the local communities that they have to freeze it or how they can spend it.
Right.
At the meantime, they're telling us that you have to pay for additional benefits and expanded coverage and all this. So unfunded mandates left and right, the preemption of local authority is never ending. And we're at a point now, if I told you, you have to give me $3.50 back for every dollar I give you, wouldn't you just give up?
Right.
I mean, you're losing.
You'd leave the state, wouldn't you?
And a few hundred thousand people are doing that every year, which right. has an impact on this. So, you know, we're trying to propose ways to consolidate these funds. There are 653 funds. Let me ask you, here's another one. And I know, I mean.
I love this, by the way, because I know the answer. And I love this question.
So if you were going to set up public safety pension funds in Illinois, say we're starting today, and, okay, we got to set up a fund for police officers and firefighters. Now, let's just quickly say, would you set up one or maybe two, one for police and one for fire? Or would you set up 653 of them? Because Illinois set up 653 of them.
653 lawyers, 653 money managers, 653 priests who write checks.
And boards times, you know, half a dozen people on the board. And then mandates for training and meeting notices and all of this. And now we have established a bureaucracy, and it is impossible, basically, to kill.
All right. So you, as the Illinois Municipal League, have endorsed or helped write, you get to define that, six pieces of legislation. And, you know, House committees are where things go to die, especially if it's a good idea. Six of your piece of legislation have died in committee, Senate, and House?
We have
held?
Yeah, we've introduced six pieces of legislation. We've had some subject matter hearings, which means there's been no vote on them. We've introduced things in the Senate. We've talked at House committee. But we have six bills that would do any degree of consolidation of these funds. Now, some people don't like that word, but it's an economy of scale. So do you want 653 fund managers, or would you like one fund manager? You know, which one are you going to be paying less to? And so we've gone from everywhere of consolidating everything and putting them all into the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund and letting them manage the entire thing, which, by the way, is 98% funded, the only one in Illinois that's funded. Let them manage it, or maybe just manage the dollars that are invested. Just let them invest the funds, or just let them do any piece of this. You know, maybe set up one police and one fire. So we have all these different options. And the frustrating part is, now we understand if somebody were to say, well, I don't really like that one. I don't think that one makes sense. We can't save as much money with this one, although we think the savings are anywhere from $30 million a year to $300 million a year. But if you don't like any of those six options, fine. What's the answer? Nothing. Nobody has any alternative.
Right. And what's interesting, when I listen to you talk about this, I think because I like small towns, and I'm sitting at the dairy bar in Golconda having cherry pie and a cup of coffee, sitting there by myself, but nobody's a stranger when you sit down next to me. And talk to the owner and talk to some other people. We start talking in a group there, and they say, you know, problem is, Golconda is everybody's moving out of town because the taxes are so high. So what they do is they just move just a little bit out of town. And see, what I didn't pick up on the time, I was probably preoccupied with the cherry pie, is why the taxes were higher.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling I know now.
Well, and yeah, I mean, you're backed into a corner.
And they, see, and they live on much thinner margins.
Oh, yeah, and we all...
Now, granted, smaller departments, too.
Well, but, you know, you and I have close friends in Golconda or wherever else.
Carrier Mills?
Yeah, Elizabethtown, Rosa Claire, Craneville, doesn't matter. Redbud, I was in Belleville last night.
Right.
All, Smithton, all up and down, all these small communities. But it doesn't matter if you're Harvey, Illinois, which has gotten a lot of publicity over the last several months, East St. Louis, Alton, which is a large community, you know, Metro East, but it's a large community downstate.
Now,
North Chicago.
All right, now let's take a look at Harvey and what Brad's alluding to here with these towns, because there's a watch list, too, on this. Towns that have not made the appropriate pension payments, they stop because the city gets your taxes and they process them and charge you a fee to process them now.
The state.
And state does, and then sends them back. Well, if you've not made the required pension payments, they hold that money and they make the pension payments.
Right. And this is
already happened in Harvey.
Right. And then the community's like, well, now what are we supposed to do? We already don't have enough money, and now we're not getting the money that we were getting. And, you know, they reached an agreement on how to manage that between the state and the pension boards and the regular operations of the city government. But that's why I said earlier there's going to be a point where it's just a process of whatever comes in goes straight out.
Right. And when we talk about this, we see the time coming. And there are several tax groups that are ringing the bell right now saying we need to borrow $6 billion. I've heard other numbers too, but six is a pretty reliable number, to pay it right now to take care of the rear end of these payments as they balloon up and the interest piles up. Because if we do not, 2040, 2045, the entire state budget would be required to handle the pension payments and the interest from the pension payments, which is the important part.
Yeah, and there are solutions to this. I've studied this issue a lot, and I admit there are people on both sides of this. So, I mean, there are people that will say, well, that's not right. You just need to pay what you're supposed to pay, and everything will be okay. But we want to pay what we're supposed to pay, but we don't have the money to pay it.
Right.
And there's been nobody on the municipal side, no elected official, that says that they don't want a pensioner to get their pension. Everybody wants everyone to receive the money. That's the point. We have to have it in order for them to receive it, and we don't want it hand to mouth. So there are some very reasonable changes that can be made by the legislature if they really want to address this, but so far they haven't wanted to. Now, you and I have been talking about this for the better part of, you know, literally 15 years.
15 years.
And, you know, another area where you and this show have been ahead of the times pointing out these issues, and unfortunately the elected officials, particularly at the state level, haven't been listening.
All right. Well, they're listening now. There's chances are Steve Brown is listening right now in his office, and the spokesperson for Steve Madigan, if not Mike Madigan, if not, he will be listening later. And the Illinois Policy Institute is clearly listening, and we've kind of gotten to that level on streaming, which we're really happy about, but still yet something has to be done. And you can't deny this anymore. This is a math issue. This isn't a rhetorical in its nature. This is not hyperbole. This is not something that's debatable. This is math with banks and interest and high stakes.
Yeah, and the future of the communities, literally. Because if we go back to what we talked about earlier, people are paying taxes for services in their community. If they can't get any services, what are they going to do? If the roads aren't fixed, if the services aren't provided, what are they going to do? They're going to go somewhere else. A good friend of mine always said, and I impress this upon people all the time, business goes where it's wanted and it stays where it's appreciated. That's the same thing for people. And if they can't see either of those two things, if they're not wanted or appreciated in their communities or in their state, as this case may be, they're going to go elsewhere. And that's been happening.
Is the Illinois Municipal League endorsing something in particular? Now, we talked about the pieces of legislation here, but when it comes to a statewide issue, we know we've got to do something. The bell has been rung. We know the deadlines. We see the math. What can be done by the part of the people who are listening to the show right now?
Well, they need to tell their legislators and the candidates for legislature, hey, listen, stop messing around on this. You have to do something. Talk to your local elected officials, the mayors and the city council members, the aldermen and women. They're the ones that have to make these decisions. They have to balance their budget every year. So those candidates and legislators need to be impressed to talk to their local officials and address this issue. Just do something.
Here's the thing. I call this the Great Wall problem. The sheer will that it took to build the Great Wall of China, right? We don't have that will. We don't have the attention span to have that will. We are too flighty. We do not have the self-discipline to deal with a problem this large. And no leadership in this state stands out to me as saying, I'm going to wrestle this alligator. I don't see it. It's a third rail because of its pension nature. Don't want to mess with these people, and quite frankly, the Supreme Court has told us as much.
Right.
We have an obligation, but we've mismanaged our money. We don't have a revenue problem. I was told this week by Chris Emanuel Welch that we have a money problem, a revenue issue. We have a self-discipline issue.
Yeah, and I think there is a lack of urgency, and Representative Welch is a friend of mine, and I know he was down here for some hearings earlier this week. But, you know, those legislators can't wait any longer to address this. And we're presenting ideas. But back to what I said a moment ago, if you don't like any of the six proposals that we've developed, then give us yours. You know, just do something. We need some relief. Now, the Illinois Municipal League this next year in the spring legislative session with a new General Assembly and either a new or the same governor, this is going to be our priority. This is a now or never. And we are going to make this the number one issue. It has been number one, but there have been a lot of other number ones, too.
Right.
And we're just going to go all out on this. And our board of directors and the mayors from north to south, east to west, have said, we don't have any time to mess around on this anymore. Either something's going to happen, or we're going to have to walk down to the state capitol and drop the keys to City Hall on somebody's desk and tell them, you figure it out.